You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it was a big, surprising week.
It was. Yeah. Wow. I know she did not ask us how we were this week.
No, I didn't think it went that well last week. So. Not that I haven't been thinking about the things we learned about Leah not being a peeler and stuff like that.
Now you're bringing up peeling in the top of the hour this
hour.
Yeah,
I brought it up again. It's kind of like a tradition now.
Yeah. And we're going to get feedback that I'm not supposed to tell people about the state of my skin, apparently.
You can tell. You know what? It was wrong of us to suppress you last week.
I didn't suppress her. I was asking interested questions.
It was our...
dear friends. Yeah. Well, I was a friend, I think. When I listened, I thought I might have taken a harder stance against it, but when I listened back, it turns out I was pretty accepting.
No, it was just the feedback from listeners that were like, you know...
Don't do that again.
I don't think you should be talking about that.
So we came right back for seconds. We said, hey, we'll do it again.
When someone says, don't talk about that, it's like when your tongue has to like touch a loose tooth. Yeah, of course we're going to talk about it.
And we're going to talk about how we're not supposed to talk about it for like,
and it's actually,
I'd say
it's
five
like,
full minutes.
It's kind of like skin picking that way, which is a compulsion.
True. Great point.
Makes you think. Well, maybe we'll get into the wrestling though.
Sure, if we must.
This week on Dynamite, we had our three-way tag between the Young Bucks, Swerve and Keith Lee, and Ricky and Hobbs. And Tony Khan said, fuck the backseat bookers. New champs.
It's like, Swerve, he said.
one might he say
swerved.
He did.
He swerved. Hey, that's clever.
No, thank you so much.
It didn't occur to me at all. This was genuinely very surprising.
But it was. I kind of loved it. I love when, just because I find it so, it's like deciding, like guessing who I think is going to win things is like not fun for me. It's like, I don't like to read mystery novels and like guess who did it or whatever. It's just like not something I do. So then I find it very smarky in a way where I'm like, Tony Khan got one over on everybody. Like, good for him.
Oh, you're like, no one should enjoy guessing.
That's right. Ruin it for all of them.
Yes. Now everybody. I think people are pretty happy, but I do like guessing, but I like to be zagged on. And we were staring down the barrel of a plot line that everyone was saying would happen that was making me feel so degraded that I just couldn't even mentally engage with it. I was like, the summer is ruined because I'm going to have to watch FTR take the belts from the Bucks.
Yeah. I think that's a very, you know, sober and normal kind of emotional reaction to be having.
Yeah. I don't think it says anything bad about what's going on in my brain or with my relationship to wrestling.
But when you say that, like, oh, FTR and Punk and Wardlow are going to have the belts, it was just like, oh, that is dark. Like,
but I'm sure they still will.
Yeah, but yeah.
It is funny though that like last week we aggressively were like, well, at least we've got the summer. We've got the summer of Young Bucks, and then that, and then the misery will come. And it's like, nope. Let's take that back. No longer summer of Young Bucks, but that's fine.
It's not the summer of FTR. So
at least it's not the summer of FTR.
Yeah, and I really do feel the Bucks, they don't need the belts. They We've said it. Mm-hmm. They don't need them. They do story just fine without them. Yeah. Actually, I mean, many people's ability to do story, I think, is kind of ruined by the belts. But, mm-hmm. like, the Bucks are always going to have something cooking. So it's not like sometimes people lose the belts and you're like, well, I'm never going to see them again. That's not the Bucks.
No.
No.
No, they'll be here. We'll still have a summer of Bucks somehow.
We'll still have a summer of Bucks.
For sure.
So
And we're like midway, like Swerve and Keith Lee have this like dramatic tension going on. So they're getting catapulted into the belts when they've got like a lot of intra-team mm-hmm. stuff going on. So I'm like, oh, these aren't going to be boring belts. Like there's some drama already happening.
They are not on steady footing, which is a good place to have
Love
chips.
It.
Yeah. Well, let's take a step back and we'll talk about what happened in the match and we'll talk about how that came into play in the match. So this was super, super fun. They did. It was like really nonstop and a lot of like on the fly alliances, like people from different teams being like, okay, we'll take this other guy out together, which I really enjoyed. I thought mm-hmm. it worked really well. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that happened with the Swerve and Keith Lee ish in the middle of the match, and it was quite inexplicable, was that what happened? It was like Swerve got his hands on a belt.
The Bucks tried to cheat and they brought their belts into the ring to hit people with. Swerve got a hold of it somehow and then turned and was like, should I hit Keith Lee with this belt?
it was so insane.
No, not right now.
Right, it's like, y'all, I don't think that would impact the match really. Like, it's like y'all are kind of like in the match together.
It's like seeing your little brother is vulnerable and it's like almost irresistible.
Yeah, that was the energy. So that was like, it was interesting though, because then when I was like, in order to make our schedule, looking at like the cage side seats recaps, the recapper had said something so crazed that I was like, am I on drugs? Like, am I the problem here? Where he was like, the one thing that was a little inexplicable was this moment with Swerve and Keith Lee, but I guess it made sense as like a conclusion that gave us some closure on their issues as a tag team, and now they're the champs. And I was like, I think I'm like a little bit going to stroke out. Like, if we never...
The conclusion.
I don't think that's what was happening. But if that happened, and then we never heard anything about them having problems again, I would be like, I step down. As someone who thinks that... I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying.
That'd be insane. No. That'd be like the weirdest storytelling choice. It's like he almost hit his tag partner during a match. So that kind of finished the tension. Like, what?
I feel like they're saying because he decided not to, that finishes the story. And it's like, no, not at all.
No.
Because they have to have it out in some way. Like, that's insane. Yeah.
Right, because just the instinct, it's like the impulse to do it when it wouldn't benefit him at all is so... It points to like a significant, basically like character flaw, like something that is going on with him as a person that it's like, we're going to have to reckon with that eventually.
Yeah.
In a fun way. I want to say like, I think that's very, it's very cool. Way.
Right. But it's like, you're so insane. You would like hurt your own chances in this match to hit your tag partner. Right. Like that's,
Our friend Mary was like, this is absolutely the stereotypical scorpion trying to ride the frog across the river. And it's like, That is what he's doing, and it's absolutely perfect.
Because it is my nature. So hopefully that will be coming out in their tag reign. And I think, Leah, you pointed out that, like, we'd said on this podcast a while back that we were like, it would be really fun if more tag teams weren't on the same page mm-hmm. and that, like, defined their storylines more. Mm-hmm. And we fished our wish.
We sure
from
did.
Tony for once.
Yeah, because Hangman and Kenny did it, but that was like 2 years ago now, and every tag team since then have been in lockstep, and it is so fun to have, like, I assume a tag team breakup eventually, which is going to be super fun.
Yeah. I know, and it's like, what happens if you fall out as a tag? I guess you just lose eventually because you're not doing good wrestling.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can't just be like, we have singles belts now.
separate these belts and take them on their way.
What if it is an exponential belt proliferation situation where it's like they can just be like, no, these are actually now singles belts, so you have to find new tag team belts, but we get to keep these belts.
Actually, that would be such a fun story where it's like, actually, so there's going to be like, you pick a partner, your new partner, and that person's like your interim tag partner, and there's like a reunification.
It's like Tony's ears did just perk up. He was like, a reunification.
With a very complicated setup? Like, that sounds amazing.
That nobody really understands, and Excalibur's going to have to explain it on the fly, and it's going to get really messed up.
Could we do it in four rings at once, maybe?
Right, and then Brian Alvarez is going to have to get on Twitter to explain for us what's actually happening. Hello. I just think, you know, it's like, I love the Bucks forever. I can't wait to see what happens next with the Bucks, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I think this is a very fun choice. And it's nice to suddenly feel like, oh, I don't know exactly what the summer will be.
Right, right, right.
It feels good.
It does feel good, too. I more than Anne really do like predicting things because I think that's so fun. But getting zagged on is almost as fun as like predicting it. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's very pleasurable.
Yeah, and when you get zagged on in a way that doesn't make you be like, there is a natural narrative thing that I think has to happen and now it's not happening. So to me, the zag is like, no matter how good it ends up being, it still feels like something didn't go right. Like, we weren't attached to any of the narratives we discussed for the summer. So
Right. It wasn't like I feel like Tony missed a step. It's just that it's going in a different place and I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think this means, though, for the Bucks? Good luck to Swerve and Keith Lee. I think that's going to be a shit show. I can't wait to watch it. What do you think it means for our beautiful Bucks?
I hope this means Kenny and Hangman, like,
come
back into their lives.
Well, they are, you know, Hangman was doing some stuff this week. He was texting at the beginning of a little backstage interview with Tony Schiavone. There's just been, he was on BTE saying stuff about friendship and how you can maybe get it back.
And the sad music played. And for the record, Anne later said that though she laughed at me for listening to the sad music, the moment that she listened to it after the pod, she said, oh, right. This is the sad music.
This is the sad music. I hope she said, I think she said something better than that. Like, yeah, it makes me sad.
Nicer than that.
Oh, right. That is the sad.
You're correct. You've correctly identified the sad music.
And that's all I want.
That's all I'll give you. No, it's funny, the Pavlovian response you have to music like that you've never, like, I couldn't summon it to mind at all, but, like, then when I heard it, I was like, oh, I'm ready to sob my brains out for sure. It's the same thing, like, whenever a wrestler's music hits in the first 5 seconds before I've realized whose music it is, but I'm having a reaction already, like, my emotions are way ahead of my identification. Yeah.
I really am so bad at identifying those theme songs. Yeah. And it's like to an embarrassing degree where I can't even get into it with most of our friends, actually, that I'll be sitting there for so long. Like, everyone's so excited, but I don't know what's happening.
It would be so fun if somebody who's good at that kind of stuff did a hurdle with wrestler music.
I'm so bad at hurdle and I'd be so bad at wrestler hurdle too.
I think that like I would be somewhere in the mediums, but my friend Sarah would be absolutely psychotically good at it because like when we like went to shows watching dark music, she'd be like, oh my God, it's Frankie Kazarian. And I'm like, you heard 2 seconds of that song. How did you do that?
She knew everything.
Madness.
So powerful. Yeah, so I agree. I really hope that it means that the Kenny and the Hangman stuff is going to come to the fore, that Kenny's coming back at some point. I hope he comes back someday. Is that, like, have I mentioned that before?
I mean, I think that's a little controversial for our pod. I might edit it out later.
Yeah, okay, edit it out. We don't want people to know we want Kenny back.
Is there a term for, like, a resurgence of Kenny feelings that someone could think of?
I can't think of one, but, you know, and if anyone has any ideas, just let us know.
Yeah, just TunnelTalkPod.
Just let us know. Yes, so exciting. What do you guys think is going to happen with the FTR situation? I guess either in terms of, like, do you think FTR are going to get the belts at some point this year while they're so hot? and do you think, what do you think is going to happen with this match that people have been clamoring for the Bucks and FTR to have that they were thinking was going to be a belt match?
I'm less angry about Bucks FTR 3 now that, like, it's not so set in stone that the Bucks would lose. Because I did really enjoy, I never watched the first one, but I really did enjoy the second one. Like, I thought it was a fantastic match. And so I wouldn't necessarily be angry about a big rematch, especially because now I feel like the footing is different. And it's not really as obviously like, oh, the Bucks are going to win. I mean, the FTR is going to win and take the belt away from them. Like, that's just a storyline that I didn't want. But yeah, this is different now, and I'm not against it.
Yeah. I do feel like FTR is probably going to get the belts, and I do feel degraded about it, though, because it's just going to be so boring.
They've had them.
And it's like sort of like, FTR... Did FTR ever have the belts?
Didn't the Bucks win the belts off of FTR?
FTR had the shortest reign with the belts.
Did they?
I saw that on Twitter because the Bucks now have the shortest. They took that title
off
FTR.
Hey, they took that back.
Well, and it's also a thing where it's like Kenny already did the belt collector storyline, so it's sort of like, we already saw a guy like dripping in belts. I don't need to see it.
We did see it pretty recent. Like, it must be not a pretty recurring thing, but we did see it pretty recently.
And I can't really see anybody topping Kenny's whole like energy with all those belts.
It's funny because like a heel belt collector, I know it's like, of course it's fine to be a good guy and want to win things. Like, that's totally cool.
It's not sympathetic per se, but sure.
It's funny because it's like, there's no reason that it shouldn't be, but it's like the storyline in my mind is like, if you're a good guy and you are winning, you're like going out of your way to win all the stuff. It's like, well, those belts are corrupting you. As I love to talk about, the belts are corrupting you and they're making you bad. And you're just getting more and more things that are corrupting you and becoming more and more evil.
I think that's right, because it's like how billionaires, you know, it's like they have so much money they could never spend it. It's like you have a hole in your soul that you have tried to fill with money and belts. Yeah.
Big old
Which
belts.
Which actually, as a storyline, would be fantastic, but yeah, I've never seen a face do it, and it would be very cool.
You know, and I think Kenny was trying to fill the hole with belts for sure, but... And where did that get him? out injured for almost a year.
God, it has. Wow.
Oh, those belts will get you. They are not good for you, physically or mentally.
I hope when he does come back, he's like, I've been in evil rehab. Like, I like the rehab that they sent like Willow to after she did all the bad stuff.
I think I'm like gonna mess up our mics because I wanted to scream and mess up my house because I wanted to scream so bad, but it's true. It's like I would love to see Kenny being like, it turns out those belts were not healthy for me, like I wish someone had told me, and everyone's just like, all right, okay.
That'd be so funny.
I wish someone had mentioned that the belt thing had gotten out of hand.
That I was behaving erratically. Yeah, it's too bad no one did.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens with all of that. Let's move on to another belt situation. So we saw Orange Cassidy wrestle twice this week. So first, he was on Rampage versus Tony Nese. The background on this is that I don't really understand this. For some reason, Mark Sterling wants to ban Swerve from AEW. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this now that Swerve is a champ.
It's going to be a harder argument, sell. I think.
Yeah. Probably. Slightly harder sell. Swerve really dug his heels in and said, absolutely not. Once you got a belt weighing you down, filling your soul hole, it's hard to get rid of you then. But so Tony Nese and Mark Sterling approached Orange Cassidy and Best Friends and were like, please sign our petition to get rid of Swerve. And they were like, no. But OC agreed to fight Tony Nese on Rampage with his signature as the prize. And he won against Tony Nese. So I want to check in on where everybody's at with Tony Nese's current gimmick.
I love it. And I was thinking about it recently where I'm like, there are times that like the humorless guy who just wants to do good wrestling is so annoying to me. But the fact that he's doing it in such a way that it's clear he's just playing the straight man and having like so much fun about it. It's like a hyped up version of that guy where he's just like, I want to do the wrestling. And I've brought Mark Sterling, who is himself a caricature, to argue this for me. Like it's working for me. I like find him more charming than I did the entire time he was like making goo goo eyes at Sammy from the from the stands.
Making goo goo eyes. Yeah, when he wants had to his, be like, big crush Sammy's, on Sammy.
Sammy's next fiance.
Oh my God. Now that's a reality show idea. So keep that in your back pocket. I agree. It's really working for me. I think it's like shockingly funny. I want to be clear. I'm not saying push Tony Nese. I'm not saying give me more Tony Nese. I'm saying that as a way to use Tony Nese, it's the only way that I really want to see. So please do that. So please continue to do it.
This is the correct level of Tony Nese. Do not fiddle with the dials. Do not.
No. Be very careful with the Tony Nese a phone.
It is very funny that his whole thing is just like, I whine a lot about how I'm not getting the credit I deserve while I don't actually like win at wrestling ever.
Interesting. Same as FTR's gimmick, but then they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. What do you think? That's the difference right there. Yeah.
Dax has been wilding on Twitter recently.
Has he?
Again, can't get into it again.
Yeah, I saw some stuff that I did not enjoy.
He's constantly posting. You know what? We can't get into it again because we're opening our hearts and our minds. Because again, a man, Marty, whom we love,
we love
his podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't.
Is coming to visit us on Monday, and he loves FTR, and we are opening again our hearts and our minds, and we're preparing ourselves.
We're going to be so nice about FTR.
We're going to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to learn.
We are going to have really, really open minds. I really feel it. I'm manifesting this for us.
I see my friends' brains expanding now with a desire to sponge up knowledge.
Yeah.
And to sponge up emotions.
When they hear from us next, people will be like, wow, those girls have sponged up a lot.
They've sponged it all. And now they understand different strokes for different folks.
Before, they didn't.
They didn't. No, now we don't. But soon. Well, this has been a good little diversion, I think. No problem with that. Let's move on. So Orange Cassidy then fought Wardlow on Dynamite. This setup, again, not really any setup. It was just that Wardlow was like, I'm champ now. Anyone can fight me. And AEW was like, and Orange Cassidy is the first one to step up to fight him. Which, character-wise, does not make sense. But I don't care. The match was so fun.
It was so fun. And I really was not sure how it was going to go because, like, mm-hmm. they're both so over. And I was like, which one of them is the crowd going to get behind? But mm-hmm. it turns out they really did such a good job about structuring the match that you really just were behind whoever was, like, doing something at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd never really got behind either of them, which was just perfect.
Yeah, it was great. What was going... having a little rough time. I was trying to ask, but it was kind of like a kindergarten teacher. I was like, and what was going on ringside? Can anybody tell me?
Girls, what did you see?
with our eyes, what did we see? With our ears, what did we hear?
I saw two cheers.
This was so funny. I really like getting to see OC wrestle like twice a week for the past however many weeks has really been like just healing my soul this summer, I feel like.
So
and
true.
This time, like, best friend showed up in a little promo before the match that was like, Wardlow's too big and strong for you. You're so small. We'll
so
have to
little
cheat.
And weak.
And then they pulled out a chainsaw from under the ring to cheat with.
First of all, the first thing, though, is that Trent tried to cheat first, and his idea of cheating was to pull the turnbuckle pad off, and then Chuck brought out a chainsaw, and it was kind of the equivalent of, like, when Winslow on, Winston
on
New Girl was, like, bad at pranking, and it's, like, either too little too small, or too much. Big, yeah. It was, like, that was best friend's energy in two people. It's like, yeah, I'm going to pull the turnbuckle off. I'm going to chop off your limbs.
You know what? I'm a simple woman, and when two people are not on the same page about how to deal with the situation, but they really thought they were, and then the vibe is just like, that's what you did? That's what you did? That's comedy. It's comedy, and it's fun to watch.
And then Bryce immediately saw the chainsaw and picked it up and was like, what are you doing with this? And ejected them. And they were like,
he said,
it's so unfair.
Take your chainsaw and get out of here. And Chuck's the look of outrage on his face where he was like, why? Why are you throwing me out?
So unfair.
That's rough. I mean, delightful. Sometimes things don't go your way. Leah, do you want to share what you had for us about this Meltzer take?
So this is, again, all as always with my Meltzer reportage, this is third hand. And so I can't quote him directly, but apparently Meltzer was saying that they put this match, AEW put this match first, and they made it so lengthy because it was like a bid for women viewers, which apparently both Wardlow and OC do well with women. And oh, I was like, right. That's right. What I want to hear.
I'm glad they for once know what women do want, and it is OC and Wardlow, you know, simulating sex in the ring, basically, at the end.
I'm scared for us to discuss the end of this match, honestly. Like, but I will just say, Wardlow finally, OC was escaping his power bombs sneakily. Wardlow finally bombed him. And then he, like, kind of slid home to choke him out. And my little eyes went so big. Like, it was like, wow, I can still be shocked by things I see on my screen, like how they look. And then I felt so gratified when Nyla Rose and Reba were both tweeting, being like, and same. And for me, it's the same.
With, like, drool emojis.
And that's like, what women want.
Coworker. Yeah.
Right. At least
but
we've never met them.
You are not wrong about the visual and how it looked and how it feel to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they showed it live on TBS.
At 8 p.m. Yeah.
It wasn't funny.
No, it was very serious. So
it's very serious. You know.
It was more of a TBS or TNT, drama.
We know drama.
Mm-hmm. We know.
OC did a Twitch today, and he had this moment where he was like, I can't believe AEW posted this picture. And then he, like, really, like, slowly went to show his phone to the screen. And I was like, is it going to be the picture of Wardlow putting it in? And then I looked, and then he finally, like, showed the thing, and it was just Wardlow standing on him. And I was like, that was fine. that was nothing. Wardlow's just standing on you. That's fine and normal.
So funny.
Don't worry about it.
That's a okay. Performance artist right there.
Ooh, buddy. Just love it. One thing I do want to say on a similarly serious note, same real vibe. At the end of the match, so Wardlow did win, but as OC was going to leave, Wardlow reached out and gave him a little fist bump of respect to be like, you're a worthy opponent. Mm-hmm. I really needed to see that from Wardlow, like in a genuine serious way. Cause you heard me last week being like, I'm nervous about Reign of Wardlow. I'm nervous that Wardlow, I'm not trying to like turn on him, but I'm nervous that he is not going to remain sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And it was, and then I was thinking, I was like, well, was I being unfair? I'm not asking him to do some like really serious storytelling, but there's just something about what's been going on with him that I don't like. And it is that I'm like, I will never sympathize with someone who only beats up and beats somebody up past the point of, you know, like that they need to, and is never like, this was fun and I respect you.
Yeah.
I needed to see him
Yeah.
be like, this was fun and I respect you. And I really hope that he is finding himself as like an empathetic person again and like having these moments of being like, you know what? I am a baby face. I've been kicked. I'm a kicked dog. Sometimes I'm going to bite when I shouldn't, but I want to love and be loved.
Yeah. And he really hadn't done much, if any, of that kind of like everyone. We were all on his side because he was fighting for his freedom from MJF, but he really hadn't done anything like nice for other people yet. So it was good to see.
Yeah. And it was really nice that he choked OC out the way he did. And it was nice to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end.
This was just so fun. It was just a full comedy match and Wardlow was like right there in it, which is so much fun.
Yeah.
I remember saying this about the ladder match, but there was a moment where like Wardlow and Hobbs were like OC was standing in a ring of Wardlow, Hobbs, and Keith Lee, and Wardlow and Hobbs had identical looks on their face of like, this fucker again. And like Keith Lee was like, who is this? Because it was the first time you met him. But like you could see in like Hobbs and Wardlow's faces where they're like, oh God, he won't go away. And like he had the same vibe in this match where he was just like, I want to squish you like a bug, but you won't hold still. You're so annoying.
Yeah. And Orange Cassidy had so much like a more like animated comedy boy. Like it was like an indie, his vibe on the indies, which I really enjoyed a lot. And like he was trying to, you know, entice Wardlow into coming in front of where Danhausen was under the ring. But Wardlow.
Yeah. And Leah, you had a good point about that, I think.
I think for a while there, they were missing like mid-level, like or mid to high-level faces that like could go up against some of the like bad boy heels and like believably win. And so they started like OC had to wrestle a little bit more seriously when he was like up against Kenny, or you know what I mean? Like he had to like. He had to be a little, like, he was still doing comedy, but, like, it wasn't as much. But, like, now that they seem to have, like, a better distribution of, like, faces, I think they're letting him go back to doing more of his goofier spots instead of having to be like, see, he can wrestle really well, too. Don't worry about it.
Right. Which actually makes sense because, like, one of the criticisms that people have sometimes in the internet wrestling community is that it's like, well, you don't have the shock factor anymore of, like, oh, he can actually go, so he's just doing the same stuff over and over again, like, which I don't necessarily think was true, but I think it is true that they, like, had to kind of keep him in this mode of, like, he can go, but he doesn't want to, but he will get serious, like, and that now they are able to do, like, a wider variety of matches for him, which is fun.
Yeah.
Because that's our boy, and we need to see him get booked fun.
For our mental health.
For our mental health, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some other, well, one woman who's for our mental health and one who's kind of the opposite. So we'll talk about what's going on with Mercedes Martinez and Serena Deeb. So they, as a tag team, I don't believe that we understand really why they've been a tag team at all.
I certainly don't.
I know they've been tagging together on YouTube, and I don't know if it was explained on YouTube. It certainly wasn't explained on commentary, and I think usually if there is, like, something, Excalibur will point to it, but, like, he didn't even try. He was just like, yeah, they have a record together, and it's like, oh, all right. Well, why, though? But it is kind of interesting that it seems like Mercedes does, she doesn't mind hanging out with heels, because, like, she started as, like, hanging out with Brit, so, like, she's, like, technically a face, I guess, but she's, I guess the word I would say is tweener.
Kind of a tweener. No, but I know, I mean, it does feel, like, a little different when it's, like, maybe I don't understand what a tweener is, like, really, or how we're really defining it, but it's, like, she's been, like, very heelish, but at the same time, she has consistently kind of had a vibe of, like, well, I have a moral compass and, like, an ethics that I live by, and just because I don't do things the way that you would do them doesn't mean that I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Which I think is sexy.
It is. It is really sexy that she continually has, like, a line that, like, the heel can't cross. And then when they cross it, she gets pissed. Like, you can take over the world. You can do evil shit. I don't care. Whatever you want. But don't hit people when they're already down and they've already tapped out. That's my line.
She has the vibe of, like, a kid in high school who was, like, friends with the bad kids but really wasn't a bad kid, you know. It's like I'll hang out under the bleachers with them, but, like, yeah, if they go bully someone, she's like,
or
not
she's
on
got
board.
A reputation for being a bad kid, but then when you dig in, it's like, well, I don't actually really do that much bad stuff,
right?
I just look tough.
Yeah,
beautiful. Anyway, so she and Serena Deeb beat these jobbers, but then what happened at the end, I had to have explained to me, was that Serena Deeb was like kept keeping the person that she'd locked up in her D-block, Serenity lock.
Yoga. D-block.
Allie, come on. She was, like, keeping her
locked.
I'm going
to call it the D-block from
the D-block. D-block. She was keeping her locked up, and the ref was kind of like, you have to let her go, or you're not going to be a winner anymore, because this is so rude. And Mercedes was like, unlock her, my God. And so she did, but then she locked Mercedes, because she doesn't play well with others. And anyway, and so then she fought Anna Jay on Dynamite and again did some excessive locking at the end, and Mercedes ran out in a great street clothes outfit to save Anna Jay. I think just on general principles, I couldn't remember. I was like, they had Mercedes for a while. We're kind of like putting her in these little trios of women, and I can't remember who with, because they didn't follow up on any of it. So I don't really know.
No,
I don't really know if they have a relationship.
It was definitely happened once 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was definitely Rosa for a while, but I don't remember who was the third. I don't remember if it was Chris or...
Yeah. If you want us to remember, build it out, okay? Yeah. So that's going to leave it there.
Give us an ongoing storyline.
You do the work, then we'll do the work. And we do the work every week, and it's a lot of work because
we work
hard.
Good
brains.
We're out here projecting feelings on all of these matches every day. Are we recognized for it? No.
No.
Brains are people like sponges. They soak things in, and then the things go right back out again.
Yeah, that's right. We wring them out every night as we sleep. Wring them out. this, I would say, is the most interesting Serena Deeb has ever been. And it is effective for her to have, like, for her and Mercedes to have kind of a foil situation.
Yeah, it works. I mean, so Serena is, like, very sanctimonious, condescending, like, I am the professor of wrestling thing. Really doesn't work when most of the wrestlers on the roster are very green. But when she does it to somebody who, like, who has been around, it does work a little better. Because, like, when she does it to Mercedes, Mercedes is sort of like, you can't do that to me. I've been here just as long as you. You can teach me nothing.
Yeah, because I think Serena, during the match with Mercedes on Rampage, she was, like, yelling at Mercedes while Mercedes was wrestling, like, in a kind of, like a mad coach way. Yeah. And Mercedes was clearly like, bitch, you're my teammate. You're not my coach. Don't tell me how to do it.
Right, right.
Which I thought was great. This is unrelated to Mercedes or Serena, but we did get a post-match promo from Anna Jay and Ty Conti, which I struggle with.
I genuinely don't know what we were supposed to get out of it.
I don't know.
Other than Ty Conti was saying, Anna Jay, you aren't on TV like me, who is now on TV after dating Sammy.
Well, it's pretty funny too, because it's like Anna Jay does have a
famous, like, boyfriend.
A famous wrestler boyfriend, actually.
True, yeah.
She's kind of like chosen to have a wrestling identity separate from him. So that's when you think about it that way, it's a little interesting.
I would say that Ty would say, dude, make different choices for your career, Anna Jay.
Yeah. I thought it was very strange. This was really in line with some of the other things we've seen, like with the Chris Red Velvet thing too, where we have not been shown any of the, like, moments of the friendship deteriorating up to this. It's just like the last time we saw you, you were bosom buddies, best friends, you know, and then now we see you, you're antagonistic. Ty Conti is negging you and being like, guess one of us is on TV and one of us isn't. One of us sucks and just got injured, huh? And then walked off. And it's like, well, if I don't get any of the little breadcrumbs leading up to this, what is the point? It's not that hard to show me some stupid promos of two people being friends and having a moment of, like, tension. Happens to me all the time.
Right.
Like, it's not difficult to just be like, we're friends, but I'm starting to feel like maybe we aren't on the same page about the choices we're making.
Right? Yeah.
And well, then this would have worked great.
And the main thing I got from the promo was like, wow, it feels like another lifetime when these two were paired up. And also, like, Ty feels like an entirely different person, but it is like we have seen no journey. It was just like she started dating Sammy and now she sucks, like, all the time, constantly on the TVs.
Sammy poisoned the belt. The belt poisoned Sammy, or the belt, or Sammy poisoned belt, or both.
I think Sammy poisoned the belt, and I think that's Scorpio should sue him for it.
Oh, God, yes. We have so many lawyers running around now. So we've got to be seeing some more law.
Blah, 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 blah.
We've got to be seeing a little more law on this show because of how many lawyers we got. Woo, baby.
I think one of Ty Conti's biggest sins with the breakup of this tag team is that they still have never explained to me whether their tag name was supposed to rhyme or whether it was Sean Bean situation.
Tie-dye is so funny that I think I'm going to choose from now on to think that's what it was supposed to be. Tie-dye. It's crazy. It's really annoying. It's like, it's kind of the kind of thing where it's like, why did you feel that? I guess maybe they're setting up, like, they're going to have a feud or they're going to fight each other. I don't know. And then it'll make sense. But in the moment, it was like, why are you showing me this? You didn't do any of the work to get me here. So why the fuck are you showing me this part?
It's like checking
in. If you didn't
set
up the rest of it, I don't need to see it. Just pretend it never happened.
It's the same shortcut as Red Velvet and Chris. The exact same shortcut.
So annoying.
Yeah, but it's crazy to, like, drop it for, like, 6 months. Or how long has it been? Like, forever. And then, like, bring it back like we all remember. Like, I feel like the women's storylines are always like, this happened. Like, and then we didn't talk about it for 6 months. And now we're going to talk about it for one episode. And then we'll be back. Like, it's just
not good. I mean,
you
could do a promo that is, like, where they're checking in backstage. And Ty is, like, talking to her. And Anna is, like, girl, you haven't talked to me in 6 months since you got a boyfriend.
Yeah, that'd
why
be
are you
to
even
it.
Talking to right. me now? Again, right. relatable. We've yeah. all been
right. I mean, really, like Ty got a terrible boyfriend, fell off the map, didn't talk to any of her female friends for 6 months. Like, yeah, yeah. that's that happens all the time.
And
yeah.
you know what? If Tony didn't want to put it on TV, which you know he doesn't, they.
He wants to get women in by the OC and Wardlaw.
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 Gotta get more law in here.
Law. I think you'll find.
If you're not going to put it on TV, they have access to two vlogs between the two of them. Like, Anna yeah. Jay is already on BTE all the time. Why couldn't God, they have, right. like, a little moment on that? Right. And yeah. what is Sammy doing for Ty if she can't do any character stuff there? Hello?
I do think that, but he doesn't do any character stuff, so it's not surprising to me I know, that but he's we're like not fantasy, helping her.
But yeah. we're fantasy booking, right? Like,
yeah, we are.
I do think BTE should be like giving the women's wrestlers a little more of a platform. Like, I know Brandon Cutler just like lets whoever like wants to film a bit like get in that week, but I do feel like he should maybe be going around and being like, "Hey, Ruby, you want to do something?" You know, like whatever.
I know. I would love to know what he's actually saying, because a lot of times his vibe is very much like, "If you send me a file, I will put it in BTE, no questions asked."
And we see those right, things.
Ryan Nemeth and whoever his little entourage is. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, but I'm like, are you explicitly telling like yeah. Ruby and like Julia Hart, like, are you guys, right. are you explicitly telling them? Because
you should please. Explicitly tell them, because they could be doing, like, I feel like Julia Hart could do some really like funny little bits and they could throw it in there, you know? Yeah.
They definitely could. I hope that he is opening it up to them, and I'm opening it up to them as well. And I'm saying, guys, Brandon seems very bullyable.
Yeah. So oh, yeah.
Just start just filming some stuff and like send it to Brandon. Him. He's desperate for content. So
it's
like,
true, because he gets in trouble with everyone if those are too short. Yeah. So it's like, just give him some of that filler content he needs.
I'm
like,
sure
he's putting
be
Ryan Nemeth in there every week.
Yeah. Like, no one wants to see that. Yeah. So like, I do think if Julia Hart just started doing like a running thing, or anybody just started sending him video, it doesn't seem blocked off at all. There seems to be no gatekeeping. Yeah. So
or make
no.
your own blog, or make a TikTok and make TikToks that are, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to give people extra work, but it's like,
no, but
either do a promo that really explains, even if it's a shortcut, that I'm like, that's credible, fine, that makes sense. Or give me some extra content somewhere, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I need something.
Well, it is like, you know, if Tony's not giving you the TV time, like, the Dark Order managed to get a lot of stuff on Dynamite by being funny on BTE, so like,
it's true. And again, I do, though, I want us to circle back and just say, Anna Jay actually is on BTE every week.
Yeah.
I know, she's
so
just not
she
doing
actually
anything.
Has,
yeah.
She has the platform.
she really should be taking advantage of that.
Right.
I know.
She, of all people, knows how desperate Brandon is for content. And so right. all she has to do, and I like do feel like her, the rest of the boys in the Dark Order are also bullyable. So she could just be like,
oh,
absolutely.
Hey, yeah. we're going to do a skit where like, I tell you guys how mad I am at Ty Conti and you listen because it's going to work for me. You know, like
that's
simplifying it, but
that'd be great.
I will say it's quite funny in some of their like group shots with the Dark Order. Anna Jay, like, the camera will turn to her and be like, Anna, it's your turn to say something. And her vibe is like, get that thing off me.
It
I
is very much
I will
like,
not be contributing right now. And it's like, girl, you gotta give me something. I'm so sorry, but you are an entertainment professional. So
I know.
You actually do gotta give
totally,
me something right now.
She has the vibe. It's like, my little brothers are making a movie and I have to be in it again. And like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Like, yeah. Anna,
my
you
boyfriend's
do, you,
picking me up pretty soon. So
you are a professional wrestler. So it's like, yeah. if you've got a little storyline going on, I think that like during that conversation where Hangman was being like, sometimes your friends leave you, but maybe mm-hmm. you can still fix it and you still love them. There's kind of like, I would say like a natural fit maybe for mm-hmm. some of the stuff that apparently is going to be going on with maybe your next plot line.
Like,
but it
kind
of seems like
week,
you like
yeah.
didn't bring any of that up, and I do kind of think maybe that is on you.
Yeah,
a little
yeah
yeah. All right, it is one of those things where it's sort of like, I feel like if Anna Jay had her way, she would always be like sitting on the back of like some piece of furniture, like saying nothing until it was time for her to punch somebody. Like, I do think that that's what, like, her bullying Stu silently was her ideal situation. And like, so I feel like us saying to her, like, you have to do this kind of stuff, she'd be like, oh, but do I have to?
I know. Well, she is so bad at talking and at acting. It would be bad if she tried it, but she should be out there stretching and getting better.
Well, I hope Mercedes is going to mentor her.
Yeah, Mercedes should be on there.
I know. I do feel very intense about what Sarah told us about Mercedes being like a really good coach backstage and like her being like a font of knowledge. I'm like, Mercedes, help these girls.
Please. They need so much help.
And a lot of it is, yeah, just help. Yeah, you know what? Just help. Actually, let's just quickly touch on some of the other women's promos we got this week. These women didn't get to fight, but they got to talk with their mouths. Chris and Athena cut another promo against Jade and the baddies. I would say this promo was great, but it made almost no sense. Like the logical thrust of the promo was kind of like, illogical.
Yeah,
it's kind of a classic John Moxley kind of promo.
Yeah,
I love your energy. I don't know what you're saying.
They were clearly having fun.
Yeah,
they were having fun. Their logic was, "Let us help you get beaten." I think you're desperate to get beaten. Let us help.
It was something like, "You're the TNT champion or TBS champion, and you should be having matches that are like good and that like it's good competition, but you keep fighting these jobbers and when there's legit competition right here. So let us help you. We'll be your good competition." But it did sort of feel like it's like, if you're going to beat people, beat us, which I'm not really sure added up.
No, I had questions, but I enjoyed it very much. Enjoyed seeing them feeling loose and being aggressive. So no problem. And then we also saw Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm showed up on Dynamite to like issue another open challenge, I think. And Britt and Jamie Hayter showed up and did a little meta like thing where it was like, I know everybody says there's too much of me in the women's division, but I guess you guys couldn't get it done without me. So here I am again. And it seems like maybe they'll all be re-entering a feud. That's right, because Toni was with Ruby the last time. It's kind of what's happening. Listen, I'm not gonna, I want to get out there. When I see Britt on my screen, yeah, mama is happy. Yeah, mama's home and mama's happy. Two different mamas.
I think last time she was there, I was saying we had gotten a little oversaturated, but actually the break has been good, because then when she came back this week, I was very psyched to see her. I was like, oh, here we go. This is good stuff. So
kiss me on the mouth, sister. That's what I said, pretty much what I said. But does that make this a good feud to launch? Don't ask me, because I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's, but who knows?
Fairly repetitive.
Yeah, so. I think I'm like much more down on Britt than you guys are, where I am still sick of her and I wasn't that happy to see her, but like I was like more upset, where I was like, not upset, like that is too strong, but like just like, this is Thunder Rosa versus Britt. We have seen a lot, and we just saw a lot of like Toni versus Britt, and I was like, I don't really need to see this foursome together. But then like as I was saying that, I was like, well, who else would Thunder Rosa fight right now? And I brought up the list of women wrestlers and like was looking at heels, and I was like, oh shit, like it has to be Britt. There's literally nobody, there's no other heels right now that aren't injured, that aren't tied up in something else.
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, I think we need, I don't know. You know what? I've given up on saying what I think we need with the women's division.
I know. I feel like Toni Storm's really pulling down this whole group for me, too. Like, she's such, like, a charisma suck. It's
sorry to her. Like, it's not her fault. I think I've told her wrestling is good. I think it is. You know, I never know. It's not her fault, but she has never once given me anything that made me be like, yeah, I'm like into this. This is cool. Yeah,
I know. And I love projecting things on women, but like,
I know you do.
It doesn't.
Hey, you do try.
I try real hard, but I know. She's got nothing. She gives me nothing.
I know. And then it's like, Thunder Rosa doesn't have anything to like play off of, and yeah.
And Thunder Rosa needs it, because her character is like more like righteous. So she she needs someone like a little bit more dynamic with her if it's going to work.
Yeah. It feels like this pairing is like the opposite of Chris and Athena, where it's like suddenly like they're, well, I don't know if it's Chris's best self and Athena, and like they're so funny playing off each other. Whereas these two, it's like, I feel like this is the worst of each other. Yeah. Like it's just not working for
me. It's interesting, because as you bring up like Thunder Rosa having kind of like a righteous energy, like it's like she does kind of need someone to push her buttons a little bit and give her the opportunity to be like, no, this is the right thing to do. I do want to do the right thing here because of such and such. Like, she needs someone, not a bad person, but someone a little, you know,
mischievous. She needs a swerve. She needs, the female swerve who, like,
you're like,
are you going to turn on Thunder Rosa? Like, what's happening here? Like, that would be so fun.
Right. It's like your friend who's just like, let's be bad. Let's be freaking bad tonight. And you're like, oh, whoa. Okay. I thought we'd kind of chill, watch cheese.
Like, she's like a little rat heel, like, to bring out a chainsaw, you know?
Like, oh, we have a test in the morning. We can't go to the club tonight. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in the back of an Uber, and you're like, I don't know how it got here.
Yeah. I pray for that for her. Speaking of rat heels, Christian returned this week to do a little more vamping on Dynamite. This week, he was mad at the Varsity Blondes because, as he said, Griff, you went on social media this week and showed a picture.
That is the funniest way to put it. Like, we talked offline last week about, like, ways that, like, boomers discuss the internet, and like one of my friend's dads always says, like, somebody put something out there, so he'll be like, yeah, no, your aunt put that out there, and you're like, put what out there? It's like, you showed a picture, Christian. What does that mean? You went out there and you showed a picture.
It sound so scandalous, and it's like just a picture of him. Like, it's just his own.
I
know. Self.
I went to his Instagram to be like, "Ooh, what did he show?" And it was just—it was a really normal picture of him flexing.
So crazy, so funny. But anyway, he was basically like, "You look like Jungle Boy, so you're in trouble now." And he turned to Luchasaurus, and he was like, "Don't you think he looks like Jungle Boy?" Or like something like that. And it, like, activated Luchasaurus.
It was his
to
trigger
go
word.
Beat him up. Yeah, and I was like, do you think they're ever going to explain what he did to,
like,
Luchasaurus?
The Manchurian candidated Luchasaurus. If they don't, it's going to be real disappointing.
I think they will. I'm willing to let them keep playing this game for a while, because I think they will. I think they will, too.
I will say the one thing that I don't think that commentary is leaning hard enough on, like, we don't know what the fuck is happening here.
Right.
Because he was a really good big dinosaur one day, and now he's, like, so evil, and all you have to do is be like, doesn't he look like Jungle Boy? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to beat him up. I would like commentary to be a little bit more like, this is worrying. Like, it's worrying that Christian has this kind of influence, and I think we all want to know, like, why. Like,
what happened? I know. Instead, what did they say? It was like, well, Luchasaurus has had quite a change in demeanor or something like that. I was like, I think that's a little light. Like, his face turned black.
Like, y'all, he's full dark-sided, and I know you see it. It's like you know what? I won't get into it at this time. But, yeah, so
it was also funny that he picked on Brian Pillowin Jr. for having a dead dad too. It's like he's running around to find everybody with a dead dad so he can yell at them on television.
And that's a beat I'm comfortable with, because I was expressing some concern last week. But if he wants to dig up more dead dads, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we could throw them all in Penta's grave.
Yeah,
put them all in the same grave.
Just in there, just hugging each other. I think. Would you agree? He was
just Brian kind of curled up in the grave, and Luke Perry are just in Penta's grave hugging. Now. Yeah,
that's right. Is that not a sweet image?
Like, that guy is so mean. I hope our sons are going to beat him up or something.
We're not disappointed in them.
We like them.
I was going to say, Christian's outfit, it was like a play on the same theme. He's still wearing like a turtleneck and blazer, but I think this was his worst combo yet color-wise. Would you guys agree?
I don't remember it.
It was like purple with like lots of buttons on the jacket, and it didn't fit right. And then it was like kind of like a taupe turtleneck, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think
I was really focused on how terrible Brian Pillman Jr. looked. Every time they cut to him, I kept being like, what is happening over there? But I agree. Now that you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, no, Christian did not. He did not have that like sleek evil look that he's had in past ones.
Exactly. If the jacket had fitted better, it might have worked.
It was
but
not
the purple was still a little too bold, I think.
Brian Pillman Jr. was giving us full, like, Humans of New York got stopped for a photo and to share his story and said something like completely deranged and just looks so happy in the photo. And it's like the height of summer and he's not wearing a shirt. And it's like he's giving like basically a live, laugh, love kind of promo to the Humans of New York guy. That is what he was giving me.
Yeah. He gave me kind of a Stranger Things dirt bag, like with the jorts and stuff, like in the hair.
I was going to say that what I got out of it is that like he didn't know that this segment was happening. Yeah. And he thought he was going to sit catering. Like he's been sitting for the last like 3 months. And so he's like
shirt off,
sitting there. Yeah. Like hanging out, like talking shit.
And then all of a sudden all are Tony's like,
just sitting on each other's lap, shirt off.
Yeah. Brian, would you mind if we did a promo tonight where we insulted your dad?
Hey Brian, you got a dead dad.
Brian, dead dad club.
Open call for dead dad. And that's okay. And to us, that's okay. That's not a problem.
No, that was fine. I wasn't offended by a single thing that happened last night.
No. It was
good
great
for them. I guess they'll fight more. Don't tell me if it's already been booked because I can't wait to find out when it happens. Finally, let's just briefly go through what happened with the old Jericho Appreciation Society. Jake Hager fought Claudio on Dynamite. Didn't watch a lot of that, if I'm honest.
No.
Didn't really tune in.
No.
William Regal was talking Jake Hager up like crazy, which kind of made me feel like, wow, you're like a really nice man. And also like, can I trust anything that you ever say?
No. Absolutely no, because he will give it 150% for anybody. Mm-hmm. And Jake Hager, good for you. And Claudio, you still looked good, but I must see you fight like anyone interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm begging you.
I think this one was funny because they're both like very big boys, but they're kind of on the same scale. So then they just kind of look normal size, which is always...
They're just like little... They look like little punch-em action figure. Beep, beep, beep. They kind of beeped each other. Mox and Eddie both fought Takeshita. So Eddie was on Rampage. Mox is on Dynamite. They both won. Lee, I think you pointed out they were very similar matches in a certain way.
Yeah, they both were like the exact same match, which I was not against because it was like very funny where like both Mox and Eddie had the vibe of like, God, we just really love doing violence. Like doing violence is like the most fun you can have with your clothes on. Boy, I just love this. And like Takeshita... is so funny because he looks like a buff version of Dante Martin where he's just like, I don't know, maybe I cry sometimes, but that's my business. He
looks just the sweetest really boy sweet. In the world. Yeah.
So sweet and so handsome. But then he gets in these matches and he just keeps getting up and he just keeps doing the punching. And he's like, I also love the violence. And you can just see Mox and Eddie being like, God, we're having so much fun right now.
And they're getting blood all over them. Mox is licking it off his hands. Like, it's the best night of his life.
Well, Mox made a great little face when he went to lick Takeshita's blood. It's like he kind of went near his mouth and then was like, oh, does this trouble you? Am I being a little crazy right now?
It was, you said this in the chat, but my nephew will say, apparently while he's running around being wild, he will chant pushing boundaries. He's 2.5. He'll just chant pushing boundaries. And that was Mox's energy. Like, ooh, am I going to push some boundaries?
Absolutely. Which is funny because I'm like, you've licked plenty of blood before. I've seen it. You're licking it off all kinds of things. So don't act like this is the first time. But good for you. I'm glad you're having fun. Those were great. And then also on Dynamite, Jericho cut a long promo about he's going to show up to fight Eddie as the Painmaker, his funniest persona. So it's kind of a comedy match, I think.
It's been quite a while since he brought the Painmaker out.
I think it's, I love to keep track of like, I think it's trademark related. I think that he has to break the Painmaker out now and then to maintain the trademark. This is not a joke. I genuinely, based on some Googling I did. I think it's correct.
He has so many identities. It's very funny. Like, I feel like Jericho is constantly like trying a new tack. He kind of has like the frantic energy of Robin Williams sometimes where it's like, is this landing? Is it landing? I could do something else. 1 second, anything?
And I think he gets to the trademark stage very early because he's like, you never know what's going to hit. Mm-hmm. But then you've got those trademarks and you've got to decide. It's like a juggling act. Like, which of them am I going to keep in play? And if you want to keep them in play, I think you have to do stuff with them. That's the rules.
On the road trip last month that Allie and I took, we listened to one of his Talk is Jericho with the rest of the JAS. And, like, there was something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was something. And it was like, I had this great idea. And I immediately jumped on the horn. And you think it would be, like, with Tony to see if he would do this. But it was, like, with my lawyer to see if I could trademark it.
He really That's is, so like, funny. Just, like, the worst little exemplar of a, not a litigious society. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, this isn't a healthy way to think about the world we live in, but
yeah, it's late stage capitalism,
I guess.
Run amok.
It's dark. Anyway, and he said this will be the final fight of his and Eddie's feud.
That better be a promise.
No, I don't believe it till it, you know what? I refuse to believe it until it happens. So.
I'm shocked that it's going to be the final fight without there being like a mixed tag between Eddie, Ruby, Ty, and Sammy. Like, I really thought that was going to happen. And so I'm shocked that this, so that's why I'm sort of like, is it going to be the end? But oh,
but that would be sensical women's booking. So you know that. No.
You're right. I'm thinking logically, which was foolish.
Stupid. Just like a stupid girl would. Anyway, and then Eddie did a promo afterwards just being like, yeah, I am going to drink your blood. I'm going to win for my Ruby. Very horny, some might say.
Love it.
And then we got a promo from the rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society also saying some stuff, whatever. Daniel Garcia, what did he say about the shark? Oh, that's right. Everyone else is going to be in a shark cage during the match because it's a corporate synergy thing for Discovery. So for Shark Week. So funny. They're just going to be in a shark cage for no reason above the match?
Above the match.
It's whatever. Not a no. It's not a no for me.
It's not a no.
Very funny. The only way this would be better is if they were being dangled over actual sharks. Like, yeah. No,
oh,
I would.
Fuck yeah.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or I think something should happen to them. Like, if they were being dangled over, like, a dunk tank in two separate cages, and whichever loses, their people get dunked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that, you know? Yeah. Tony, your imagination failed you at the last second here.
I'd love to watch a wrestler get eaten by sharks. I think that would really cap off Shark
Tony,
Week
you got
well.
Almost all the way there, but not all. You didn't take the last step.
You didn't. You tapped out too early, Big Tone. Yeah, but Daniel Garcia, I think, thought that the sharks go in the cage.
It's the cage where you keep your sharks, obviously.
Because he was like, I know why you want me to be in that cage, because I'm mean and hungry like a shark. You're so sweet. You're just a little baby. You're just a sweet little baby boy.
Oh, none of these boys finish high school, and good for them.
No. I think the only other interesting thing here is about Ortiz, who I wasn't looking at the screen, so I'll let someone else report on it.
Well, it was very funny.
Eddie did a thing where he was like, Jericho, look what you did to Ortiz, and pulled Ortiz's head cap off. And I think every single person in the group chat was like, okay, he needs to be thanking Jericho.
It was so funny because he was like, look what you did to Ruby. And she had like a wrist brace on. And then he was like, look what you did to Ortiz. It was like, look how hot he is. Look what.
Someone on Tumblr asked us to disclose which of us sided with Santana and which of us sided with Ortiz when we said one of them's the cute one. But I honestly have no memory, and it's been completely erased because I'm like, now it's inarguable. Like, Ortiz is so cute.
I had to go. Allie and I were on the Ortiz side, and then we got a lot of pushback, but I can't remember if you push back or not.
We don't know who pushed back, or we don't know if they push back in an informed way, because we all love to talk recreationally in our friend group. So sometimes, like, if you're just in a zesty little mood, like, you might push back on something that you don't even feel any particular way about.
Just the doldrums of a Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, you know?
Yeah, kind of just for fun. I hit Google Images about it to remind myself. And it's Ortiz. I do think Ortiz is the cute one. And
Santana's also cute. It's not like there's an ugly one, but.
There's not an ugly one, but for me, there's like one who's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Same. And it's now, Ortiz, especially, I've always more known. So. Yeah.
I feel confident. I felt confident this whole time.
I'll definitely say he is now. I don't know what I argued in the past, and I don't think that's for me to know. But
no, I don't want you to know, really.
No,
I would ruin it.
Hey, the more ignorant we are, the better.
The past is a different country. I don't know what I said or thought.
Absolutely, absolutely. The wench is dead. Mm-hmm. I've been saying it this whole time. That's it. I don't want to get into any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
There's not really not that much. Hey, guys, don't worry. We're not going to get into it. We won't tell you what it is, but it's not interesting. So don't worry about it. You don't want to hear it. You wouldn't want to know. We could talk about Ortiz some more. No, we're not. We're gonna wrap it up. Did I miss anything that anybody really wanted to say?
No, we hit all high points.
I hit it all.
Why, you want to stay on for a while longer? Want to make it an hour and a half pod?
Have a little chit-chat time?
I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Just leaving it as an option. But sure, I can wrap it up instead. I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. If anybody has any questions for Marty of Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling, you still have time to send them to us, and we will confront him with those questions. But in a fun way that he is going to love. On Monday.
Marty, if you're listening, do not be scared.
Don't worry about it, because it is going to be chill as hell.
So chill.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.